Let me say Boker Tov Mevorach. At least we had some good news yesterday, but it should have never been bad news. I can tell you I laughed because I've lived here long enough that my mind works with security consciousness. If you recall, when they captured the murderers, so one of them was given a cigarette by the security forces. And immediately there was an outcry. If you followed the social media, Rit Sheva, how do you give these murderers a cigarette? And I said to Malka, of course you give them a cigarette. The whole idea is to relax them, and you get to work interrogating them. If you don't give them the cigarette, it's going to be a lot harder to interrogate them. Lo and behold, about an hour later, some high person in security said exactly what I said. He quoted me literally word by word. So, Baruch Shekivanti Ledas Gedolim. Okay, today is Monday, May 9th, 2022, and we're ready to roll. I received one question, David Hochhauser, Rabbi Hochhauser, and this is a question I dealt with in depth when I dealt with the Lubavitcher Rebbe, but just to keep my record straight that I've answered every letter I've ever gotten, 62 years of teaching outside of two letters, which now is not the time to explain why I didn't answer them. So David asked me, he just read that a writer, a Chabad alone, and a writer talks about the fact he asked the Rebbe what to do, and the Rebbe told him not to pursue secular studies, and he should not enroll in any university. And David is a little upset. Is this the Rebbe? Isn't the Rebbe more open-minded? Yeah, the answer is very simple. If you heard Rav Kapitz's lectures, the Rebbe was very different. The Rav would tell you to go to college, go to university. He told the Rav Abba Braunspiegel to get a doctorate in Bernard Revel Graduate School. The Rav was the Rav. The Rebbe was multifaceted. Depending on who asked him and how he sized you up, he could tell you go to college or not go to college. That was the Rebbe. There's endless memoir literature appearing now of people who spoke with the Rebbe, and you'll see people, big professors, who wanted to stop teaching and just sit in the kollel and learn. And the Rebbe told them, no, you belong in university. There are people who gave up going for a doctorate, and the Rebbe said, no, finish your doctorate. There are other people the Rebbe felt they're not cut out for university, they're not cut out for PhDs. Besser says, oh, sit and learn, and let them sit and learn. So that's the answer. The Rebbe was multifaceted. He could relate to Haredim, Datiyim Lumiyim, Chiloniyim, and anyone who met the Rebbe walked out impressed, whether you wore a kippah or didn't wear a kippah. And this was the Rebbe. He was unique. All I can say is you have to be the Lubavitcher Rebbe and have his ability to have that type of outlook. All right, there was not a normal Hasidic outlook. When I was at Fabrenian's, you had Jacques Lifshitz there, was an artist, was a sculptor, and he would be sitting there, you know, without a uniform, with the long hair, and he related to the Rebbe related to him, and you can go on and on with other examples. So that was the Rebbe. Okay, but now we mentioned last week, I said I was quoted correctly. If you recall, I quoted my grandson just wrote Dvar Torah in his local newspaper, Shul's newspaper, and I read the quote, quoted his grandfather perfectly, and in the Mizrahi magazine I also was quoted perfectly, which I'm happy about, because over the millennium I've been quoted, and many times it's not exactly what I said. You know, I've learned, I have a classmate who's very famous, and if you misquote him, he'll chop your head off. I'm not like that. I've made my peace with the fact that nothing in life is perfect. And if you misquote me, gesunte heide, as long as you don't say, I'm matir sur. So what happened was, I was quoted that Israel's a country that was established by children who didn't listen to their parents. And that quote is right on. It was in the Mizrahi magazine, the last Mizrahi magazine. And I received a nice email from my dear Talmud, Nachum Lamb, And he describes his wife being raised in a very strong Zionistic family. And when all the children started to make Aliyah, the parents were a little bit upset. Aye, they're great Zionists, but that was theoretical. It was not halacha l'maisa. My mother-in-law always used to say, Israel's a country for poor people. It's not for you kids who can live in America and make a living. All right, Baruch Hashem, many years later, Israel today is a well-to-do country, and we're going to be a lot wealthier than America in the next 10, 20, 30, Be'ezrat Hashem, and a lot frumer than America. And it goes hand in hand to a certain degree. But I want to go further, and I have to say something. Go to Wikipedia and look up a guy, I know him, his name is Aaron Rakefet Dash Rothkopf. And go to the Wikipedia article, and you see something interesting. At the end of the article describing my life until a certain point, noteworthy quotations. And then they quote me with sources exactly when I said it. And my student who wrote the article, here's the first quote. And it's word by word what I've said many times. You cannot be a good Zionist unless you know Vayakhel Moshe by heart. Once you know Vayakhel Moshe and Ala Gulav Ala Tmura by heart, then you can be a Zionist. Until then, you're a faker. Well, that's a fabulous quote. And I have to tell you, this is what has happened. I have gotten so many emails against the Satmarov. I don't want to quote. Oh my gosh, last week in particular, it seemed quoting from the Vayakhel Moshe disturbed so many people. So I wrote back to them, just have patience. Give me a year to do Satma properly. And then I'm going to refute him. And boy, when I refute, I throw down the gauntlet. I challenged anyone who's not a religious Zionist to prove me wrong. Okay? I say what I have, what I'm be publishing, I'm actually publishing part of it, and what I have to say is irrevocable, in my humble opinion, and I throw the challenge out. But right now, I want to understand the Satma. But I'm proud to say that my witticism is correct. The more I read and talk about the Vayakhel Moshe, the more I'm creating religious Zionism. So that quote in Wikipedia, I not only can say it's accurate, but it's true. Okay, Ad Kan. Now, let's pick up with the Satma. Last week was an important shiur. I'm waiting to see if anyone from Satma will rebuke me. I received no email from Satma. I'm waiting to hear how they relate to it. But according to the Satmar Rav, even if the Knesset would consist, and Nachum Lam, I'm saying this in your honor, even if the Knesset would consist of 120 Satmar Rabbeim, they would be rotten, vicious, malicious, hideous, heinous, ruthless, depraved, degenerate, debauched, surreptitious sinners, because you're not allowed to have Jewish sovereignty in the land of Israel before Mashiach. And yet he argues with Agudat Yisrael. Why do you argue with Agudat Yisrael? Even if they'd all be Agudistim, according to your viewpoint, it would not be allowed. And that came to the fore wherein right before the Hitler period, or right before the Shoah, I should say, Hitler already had power. We don't have a date, but we estimate it was 37, 38. And very prominent Satma Chassidim are writing to the Rebbe, maybe it's time to join Agudat Yisrael, maybe it's time to have a homeland in Palestine, let the Jews have a place to run to. And the Satma Rav wrote to Tshuvot, and you see it in the Vayakhel Moshe as well, where he says, who will me barosh? He's paraphrasing the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Perichelek, me barosh. And it's going to be rotten, irreligious Zionists. What's your problem, Yomo? You don't hear? I don't understand. Oh, so you made it a drop louder? Okay. Mi Barosh. Check that everything. Don't open. Just keep it closed. I don't want to hear any building going on. You want air conditioning? Play with the air conditioning.
Something in the air.
Well, they're painting on this floor. So It may be the poison in the paint that is disturbing you, but keep the air conditioning at 22. Okay, I'm sorry for the interruption, but let's pick up. Mi Barosh, and he's saying to the Aguda, how can you go with the Zionists? They're going to run it, they're going to head it. Who is this Ben-Gurion, who is Weizmann? But you see, the question is, according to the Rebbe, the Satmar Rav, or the Satmar Rebbe, whichever way you refer to him, doesn't matter, Mi Barosh. Even if the Satmar Rav is Barosh, how can you have sovereignty? So I stand on what I said. That's why I wanted to hear a response from Satmar people. My interpretation is the Satmar Rebbe is following the Gemara. Many times in the Gemara, you say, I don't agree with you, but according to your opinion, it's still not right. So that's the way I understand it. All right. Then we got involved with the second part of the Yom Moshe, the addendum that came years later, dealing with Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. And here I showed you that there are two Gemaras and two Rambams, the Satmar Rav has to deal with. Number one, it's a mitzvah, maybe one of the greatest mitzvahs in the Torah, that we have to live in Eretz Yisrael. Mitzvah Yishuv Eretz. Shkula keneged cholam mitzvah, all the Gemara we cited, the end of Ketubah. On the other hand, the Rambam in Hilchat Deir, and also based upon Gemaras as well, you have to live among frum people. If you can't live among frum people, run to the desert, live in an igloo, live in a hut, run away from civilization. And the Rambam has to deal, the Satmar Rav has to deal, how do you balance out living in Eretz Yisrael, and how do you balance out living among frum people, and if the people are not tzaddiki elyon, run away and hide and become a nomad. And this is what I was quoting from the Rambam, and this is, by the way, of all that he wrote against Israel, this particular section is quoted more than any other section. The reason it's quoted, because the Satmar Rav calls it the Yogimel Ikarim. And some people quote it with awe, his chassidim, that the Rebbe put down Yud-Gimel Ikarim. And his detractors quoted in anger. How can a Basav Adam use something that only the Kadosh Baruch Hu uses, Yud-Gimel Ikarim? All right. Now, last week we did two of the Ikarim, and the first Ikar is very simple, that there's no two ways about it, according to every source in the world. If you're a Tzaddik Gamur and you live in Eretz Yisrael, you're the greatest Jew alive. And I hope that many of the people listening to me, I don't want to embarrass the people who are on screen from the United States, but many of the people listening to me, we are the greatest Jews alive. There's no question about it. The people I taught, the people that I inspired, the Kamen Aliyah, the people that inspired me, believe me, Tzaddikim Gemurim living in Eretz Yisrael, and the Satmar agrees. Okay, that, no question. Number two, and here the Satmar is very powerful, and this will play a big role in all his thinking. Just like living in Eretz Yisrael and being a tzaddik is the greatest thing in the world, doing a sin in Eretz Yisrael is 1,000 times worse than doing a sin in Baltimore, in New York, in London, in Brooklyn, etc. Just as Eretz Yisrael, mitzvah yishuaris shekula keneged kol mitzvot, similarly, sinning here takes on much greater proportions. All right. Let us go further. And here I'm picking up with the third Ikur, the third of the Yud Gimel Ikarim. And here the Rambam is dealing with human nature, what we cited in Hilchat Deyot, that yes, if there's a mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael, you have to have proper neighbors. once you live among people who are not from, it attracts, it leads you, it conveys a message to you. Now, I need not tell you, this is halacha psuka, this is common sense life experience. If you study psychology, sociology, it's a basic principle. I don't have to go further than the contemporary world. I just opened my mouth and I was upset. Why? Very simple. An Orthodox Jew was announcing the death of a wonderful person, and they listed out all the children. And everything is good and fine. And one child, I don't want to elaborate, they list out the names of two women, Hashem Yirachem. And this is an Orthodox shul already, a real Orthodox shul. And I told you, and I was told that in Hank, they were speaking to the teachers. Now, no one's going to say that the Hank Academy is not a frum day school. It's 100% founded by Rabbi Spendel and Rabbi Gold, the Gedolim HaShebaaretz. And they're telling the faculty, don't speak out against same-sex marriages. Could you imagine? It would cause a storm, parents, the public atmosphere. I know in America, a few times I spoke in what to me is basic Yiddishkeit, same-sex marriages, other matters. And the finest, frumest rabbis, graduates of Lakewood, got up of those and say, thank God Rabbi Rakefet has the nerve to say this. He doesn't worry about being politically correct. This happened to me twice. Once with a Lakewood graduate and once with a big Chabadnik. And I almost fainted. Could you imagine speaking out against basic Isurim? They're admiring me that I have the guts. The guts, we have a Torah, we believe. But you see, the world decays us. There's no two ways about it. You live in America, progressive civilization, liberalism, all that they're talking about, what's going to go on in America now, with if they look how they leak from the Supreme Court, they made Israel look good. We occasionally have leaks here, but generally it's from cabinet meetings. Here, the Supreme Court, we're talking a holy institution, a Parah Kedoshah, and they leak what's going to go on, and it's going to affect, of course. I guarantee you, Chovev Beit Torah will have an opinion. You'll see the influence of the Western world. So here the Lubavitcher Satmarov says, and correctly so, that if you go lachatchila, and this is what I alluded to last week, and my own thinking is a little different, but a lot of my children live today in Leshem, Kedem, and I have a grandson who's just signing a contract shortly, buying in Elkana. And where do you want to live? When I came in Aliyah, all the religious Americans were running to Bayit Vagan. I told you last week, it began as a mixed neighborhood, and it was becoming more from. And Malk and I didn't want, we moved to Rehavia, and there were two reasons. One was the Kotel, to be within walking distance. I was young then, I never dreamt the day would come that the walk is beyond me for the last 8 years now. And we wanted a mixed neighborhood. Why did you want a mixed neighborhood? I told you, because we wanted the children to see their religious Jews, irreligious Jews. We didn't want them to have the shock of a Beis Yaakov girl, as you see time and again. She graduates Beis Yaakov High School, and for the first time in her life, she sees someone driving on Shabbos, and God doesn't strike them down. And then this comes up. I saw it on the Israeli television. This girl who left Yiddishkeit. Wow. And she's boasting. My mother said to me, you were born a koferet. That was her boast. It's like that Lubavitcher Rav that he always boasted, whoever he met. He was a tremendous Talmud Chacham, Rabbi Zuba, and he always boasted that the sixth Rebbe said, Lenin in Kenstu Abba Shegetz Bistu. You know how to learn, but you're a Shegetz. That was his boast. It was about shaving, because he wrote a tshuva that you're allowed to shave, and the Rebbe was very angry at him. And Lenin in Kenstu, yeah, that's for sure. But when you talk about this type of attitude, where do you want to live? So the Satmaruv, he built Kiryat Yoel in America, Kiryat Yoel, what is it today? Palm City, Palm Tree City, whatever they call it. And to get away, live in a ghetto, and you're going to live in Eretz Yisrael only if you can live among tzaddikim. And he says, the Gemara says, Avodah Zarah is Moshech. And the Rebbe says, probably to a certain degree correctly true in modern times, Minas Apikarsis is more Moshech today than Avodah Zarah. In other words, I don't believe there's any graduate that I ever taught in BMT or in YU or in Gruss, etc., who worships idols. But there's some graduates who went off the path and liberalism and open-mindedness, and they're mad at Rakefet. Why can't we have a reformed temple at the Kotel? Pay your nickel, take your choice. You know what I said last week, and I stand on every word. But this is the Rebbe, and you're going to go live in Eretz Yisrael today where the overwhelming majority are Minim, Apikarsim, progressives, liberals, westernized individuals, call them what you wish. To me, they're idol worshippers, but what I mean idol worship in a different sense. Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. What does that mean? That God sets the rules. There's divine revelation. Today, when you're part of this big liberal Western world, which is decaying before our eyes, well, at that moment, you set who's God. You become God. You become the idol. You set the rules. You determine what you're going to do. Chilul Shabbos, Treifot, etc. Boil Bilat Asura. So this is the way the Satmarov is trying to balance out the two concepts. Mitzvah Jishev Eretz Yisrael, yes, if you can live among tzaddikim. But if you're going to live in a normal Israeli setting today, with cars on Shabbat, with Apikarsim, with the Meirav Michieli and the others, Chas v'chalila, there's no mitzvah then. And follow Hilchot Deyot and run back to a ghetto. All right. The fourth Ikar lends itself to endless discussion and opens up the whole history of the Jewish Yishuv here. Okay. What do you mean you're coming to Eretz Yisrael? And I'm going to quote the Satmar, then I'm going to give you a fabulous non-Satmar source who discusses the same problem. And this problem comes up in every Hebrew university, every advanced academic course you'll take on the history of Zionism. And nowadays, I just spoke to a student I haven't seen for a while, and he tells me he's retired, he was in high tech. Those of you who know what's going on in my own family, a granddaughter-in-law with a bachelor's, but all right, from the Technion, my grandchildren move because my grandson wants to be near his army base, and she starts work in a place that never knew her and never saw her. It just begins 20,000 shekel a month. I never made 20,000 shekel a month. I still don't make 20,000 shekel. Thank God that I don't need 20,000 shekel a month. But there were times when I could have used it. And who made what, when, where? Israel, the taxes. We're a wealthy country today. Tell me, are you allowed to go an aliyah if you don't have panasa here? And remember, when you don't have panasa, life is very hard. How can you daven properly? I know people are davening, and in the middle of davening, when they see someone who looks like an Anglo, they stick out their hand like this. Let me see if you like this right now. It picks it up, the screen, looking for tzedakah. Time and again, go into the shtiblach in the Katamon, go into the shtiblach in Meir Sharim. Time and again, they see an American, they hear English, Immediately, with talit and tefillin on, they're looking for tzedakah. No, that's not a life. Do you have panasa? Don't you have panasa? And in Eretz Yisrael, panasa was very hard. Now, this gets us into the whole question. Who helped me out? Those of you that have doctorates and studied postgraduate. Chalukah. Mark, did you hear that name? What chalukah? What does chalukah mean? The original Yishev, Bata Yungarin, Bata Vasa, right or wrong? What's this all about? The American colony, it's very simple. Jews came in Aliyah, there was no economy here, there was no Jewish state, there was no sovereignty. You were a pauper, you were poor. But you came in Aliyah, so in the Gola, where you came from, it was their responsibility to support you. And you shared, we'll see in a minute, I'll give you sources, you shared in the mitzvah. Chaim Yankel is living here, and his cousin, Reb Chaim Yaakov, who's a businessman in Warsaw, is supporting him, and they built houses, Warsaw, Hungary, had so many different, the American colony, what went on here, endless money from Chutz Laretz poured in for the Jews from that area. And Chalukah and Jews lived like that, and some live like that until today. I can tell you, I've met Jews in Yerushalayim, and I'm a little bit upset with them. They're collecting charity, and you know, Meshulachim, and Rav Yashiv ruled that a Meshulach can take up to 49% of the money he collects. Are you aware of that? There's a ruling like that. 50, not the majority, but up to 49%. Well, I don't know. I'm not thrilled to hear this. And I remember one Jew said to me, look, I'm living in Israel. I do raise funds. Part of my fundraising is not honest and not accurate, and the stories I tell are not completely true. But the Jew in Borough Park has an obligation to support me. You follow me? That's the Chalukah mentality. So there were tremendous machlokes. The whole Yishuv, the whole breaking out of the Yishuv HaYashan, Petach Tikva, everything we speak about, Rehovot, coming in out of the old city and building Yerushalayim, there were some individuals that had vision to build, to have a normal economy. And all right, Baruch Hashem, today we've reached the stage in the year 2023 that nowadays we're supporting Chutz Laretz. The Jewish Agency puts hundreds of millions of dollars into Chinuch in Chutz Laretz. You understand? You don't know what's going on today. But go back 50 years, 100 years, 200 years, where do you get the money for Chutz La'aretz? It's the opposite way. Chutz La'aretz is contributing here. So here in this Ikar Dalit, the Satmud of Paskins, Chas v'chalila, you should go on Aliyah if you don't have Panasa. Aniyut ma'avir et ha'adam al dato. That's what he writes. I'm quoting exactly. And it's true. People who are poor, they can rob, they can go into a supermarket and take something off the shelf. I mean, I hope here it's not widespread. In America, the stores are closing down in New York one after another. Other stores on Fifth Avenue, what they do is you can't get in without an appointment. The store is locked. They have to buzz you in. The robberies, they're branches of pharmaceutical chains where they're closing down branches. They're neighborhoods where the theft is so great, there's no way to stop it, basically. The theft is so great, it kills all profit. You're going bankrupt. But New York, ma'virat ha'dam al dato, and he says, if you have a panasa berevach, and you're living in a frum neighborhood, and you don't have to be mitpanes min chatztaka, that is a mitzvah to go in aliyah. But if you're going in aliyah, and you're mitpanes min chatztaka, that is not a mitzvah, just the opposite. Better stay in the Gola and live mimasei yedeichem. And that's the Sakmarov. Now, I have to tell you, would that apply today? Absolutely not today. Unfortunately, no one, we said this yesterday, and it's confirmed, and no one today is in liberal arts, no one today in YU in my time, anyone who didn't want to learn around the clock and be a big Talmud Chacham, became a medical doctor. All my friends, everyone who became, or some became Rabbanim and medical doctors. But we provided today, if you don't want to be a Talmud Chacham, everyone is in high tech, everyone is in money. You follow everyone, the Sai Sim School, who would dream that that would become the basis of Yeshiva College and Stern College? But that's the world today. But when you're impoverished, there's no question. You live, the Rav, in his famous essay, Ish Halacha, God calls upon Milua Ta'aretz V'Kivshuha. A man has to live in dignity. That comes back when I said a half hour ago, answering the question, the Rav could never conceive of someone not going to university. The modern world, the more degrees you have, the better your income, adarabba v'adarabba. Go get a bachelor's, get a master's, get a doctorate, or you have the capability, live in dignity. Those are the words of the Rav. Translated, was written in Hebrew, Ish Halacha, but that's the English translation. Now, I want to show you, I want to move sides for a minute, just on this ikar of Aliyah, Panasa, no Panasa. There's a very famous tshuva written by a very great, he was a Hasidic Rav, I wouldn't say Rebbe, although he established a dynasty, and I'm talking about the Tzach Tshuva dynasty, the founder of Avram Bornstein. I've taught descendants of his. In BBMT, we had the Weinberg, remember, it's 52 years ago already. Remember the young kid, his father, he was a great-great-great-grandson. I knew from the Jewish agency there was a Bornstein, who was a wonderful Jew, a Hasidic Jew, clean-shaven, but a Hasidic neshama, worked in the Torah culture department. He was a great-grandson. And you can go on and on. Now, Rav Avram Bornstein, just to put him in context, his years, 1838-1910. He was the son-in-law of the Kotzke Rav, the Kotzke Rebbe, Rav Menachem Mendel Morgenstern. He was the son-in-law. When his father-in-law died, he became closer to Ger. He was related to his wife, became closer to the first Gever Rebbe, and afterwards, the Alexander Rebbe, they were very big in Poland. The Alexander Rebbe, very little remains today. They were wiped out by Hitler. But for instance, the Maram Shapiro, Maram Lublin, who built the Yachal Yeshiva Tachmei Lublin, he was an Alexander Hasid. But when Rav Avram Bornstein became Rav in Tzachtshav, he had a very big following. And it developed into a dynasty that continues until today. As a matter of fact, when I did my research for this, for today, to talk about him, I have to say my memory was correct. One of my earliest memories of Israel, 1969, was the Tzach Tshuva Rebbe was visiting someone in Tel HaShomer Hospital, and when they drove out of the hospital, there was a car crash, and he was killed. And I remember reading in the papers that it was the end of the dynasty. And lo and behold, in the material I came up with in Wikipedia, I was absolutely right that it was his great-grandson killed in a car crash, 1969. However, something did survive, and there is a Tzach Tshuva Rebbe. If I'm not mistaken, he functions out of Beit Vagan. Beit Vagan. He functions out of Beit Vagan. I know he spoke in Rehavia many years ago, and remember Sam Dershowitz went to hear him, but they had trouble, he was in a different world. He was speaking against university, and a good deal of the crowd was PhDs, Americans, Anglos, who came in Aliyah and integrated here into the academic world. and he's speaking against universities. I don't believe they invited him back again. But Sachchev does exist. Now, his most famous work, you know his son is Shmuel Bornstein, the Shemi Shmuel. That's his son. And that was the second one in the dynasty. And the original, the Reb Avraham Bornstein, his most famous work is the Avnei Nesa, Shelet and Shibet Avnei Nesa. It was a posek mufak, very little Hasidic overtones, a posek mufak for the greater Polish area. Now, I want to thank Yomo, who called it up for me. I remembered, I told Yomo, I know there's a tshuva of the Avnei Nesa, and it's in Yoredeya, and it deals with Yishev Eretz Yisrael. And I remembered what he said in the tshuva, but I didn't remember the number. And it's Shelton Tshuva the Avnei Nesa, and it's Siman Taf Nun Dalet. Taf Nun Dalet. It's entitled Hilchat Yeshivat Eretz Yisrael. Excuse me?
It has three parts there, right?
Yeah, but it's basically, it's the tshuva, the main tshuva is what we're going to discuss. The other parts are addendums that he corresponded with people on the tshuva, Rabbi Yisrael Trunk. Yeah. Okay, but in order to understand the tshuva, you have to understand the era. Again, what's important, you can't take a tshuva out of the era in which it was written. This tshuva was written in the mid-late 1800s. The whole Zionist movement began. People were talking what Theodor Herzl began. And again, you've heard my lectures, and I've said it 1,000 times. I'll say it again. Theodor Herzl was not the first one. The first ones to dream about a real state of Israel with economy and a police force were all great rabbanim. Rav Kalischer, Rav Mulava, Rav Alkali was even before them. They published, they described. But I'll tell you what the problem was. The problem was very simple. Rabbanim do many things. They were rabbanim. They were teachers. They gave lectures. They were community leaders. They wrote sforim. They sat in what they did in. When you do many things, you can't achieve what a meshugana does when he does only one thing. Theodor Herzl became crazy, the Dreyfus trial. Just died very young, 10 years later, was consumed. Told his family, go fly a kite. His wife, his children never forgave him. There was a whole debate whether to bring his wife, when they brought up his body, whether they should bring his wife's body because she was not happy. Thank God they brought her. She suffered because of him. There's nothing left of his children, committed suicide, Hitler. It's unbelievable. But we wouldn't have a Jewish state without Theodor Herzl. Read what I write that will appear in the memorial volume for the Rav coming out, the 30th Yahrzeit, and pray to God that the Ribbono Shel Olam keeps me in health, and a year from now I finish dealing with what the Satmar thinks and see when I refute him what I have to say. It is irrefutable the sources I will show you. The Vah Hashem. But leave that for the future, Be'ezrat Hashem. So you got to remember, Theodor Herzl starts talking, Eretz Yisrael, Jews start talking, Chovevei Tzion, Rav Mulava's famous talk, the most famous Zionist talk ever given, the dry bones. Can these dry bones live? Remember I quoted the Gemara, is it real, is it a mushel, a simile, did it really happen? These are, my great-grandfather was one of the dry bones, came to life, these were tefillin. So Jews were talking about it. And this is the shaila that comes to the Sachchava. What's this Eretz Yisrael? Should we go in Aliyah? And he has a much more balanced approach than the Satmar, obviously. It's not a... He's a forerunner, I would say, of Agudat Yisrael thinking, with heavy overtones of religious Zionism. But I don't. What I'm interested in is only one part of the Tshuva. Go to page 281, Sif Katan Yud Chet, and he deals with the very question the Satmar is dealing with. Should you go in Aliyah if you don't have Panasa? You're going to live on Chalukah. Should you go in Aliyah? Don't have Panasa. How are your parents? They came yesterday?
This morning.
They came this morning. So where are, how come you're not with them? You came to Shir, Kol HaKavod. Do me a favor, Yomo. Take from the IOU list and give them a million shekel in my honor. Where are they now?
They're in Yerushalayim.
They're in Yerushalayim. Did they make a Shechiyano? They come in Aliyah, Tova, Hametiv. Dentist, they'll help other people. Wow. You are... And all the your siblings are all here?
No, not yet. But they're older.
They're older. And they have any intention of coming? Or they?
Some, yeah.
How many are we talking about?
I have four siblings. I think two of them want to come and I'm here.
So three, you'll have them a joint. Because it becomes very hard later when it's a split family. And Elal makes a fortune off you. And traveling, you know, Elal and the Straya, what I can tell you stories. It takes years off your life. You come to the airport, go home. The pilots are striking. Happened to me twice. Once here, once in America. Here was better. I said, go home. I'm over 70. Home in the middle of the night. Put us up in a hotel. But there was not, the hotel was wonderful. But then to get on a flight, instead of them taking care of it, recovered, you had to fight like a dog and call and worry and the tension. Zikran, yours truly, I am totally opposed to strikes. Open up Choshen Mishpat, Borerut. You sit down, a beitin, you work it out equitably. No strikes. Innocent people don't have to suffer. Okay. I don't want to go further. I once gave this talk in public in the 70s when we had some strikes. You don't know what went on from Machon Lev and others. People printed my talk, asked my permission in the newspapers. Then they wanted me to head up. I said, look, I can only teach Torah. See, I want to be like Theodor Herzl, except I have one Mishigas just to teach Torah. I don't want to do anything else. I know if I do anything, if I become a Rosh Yeshiva, a dean, a chancellor, a president, a Chaver Knesset, all these things were offered to me, I'll wind up not teaching, not being Mechadesh. What do you think? A she like this, you snap with your fingers? You have to work. It's 80 years of work in every she I give. I learned from Herzl. Take my word for it. Okay. So he's... Got it. The time is right. The question is now real. So he says that he develops already, you have to see it, his sources, Midrashim, that the trick in living in Eretz Yisrael is to have the Sa of Eretz Yisrael on your side. If you're being supported from Chutz Laretz, it's the Sa of Chutz Laretz. Whatever, Esav, whatever that tsar is, that's not good. It's not the same. He says, Mazu Yeshivat Eretz Yisrael, he says, it depends where your economic support is. To live in Israel, you have to be supported by the land of Israel. If you're living in Israel, and being supported by Chutz Laretz, that's as if you're not in Israel. Your money is coming out of the Gola. Okay, he says, true, I'm quoting him word by word, true, you live in Israel, you get money from the Gola, but you're buying Peirat Eretz Yisrael. All right, it's on a higher level. When Yomo grew up in Kiev in the Ukraine, I challenged him to go back there today. Yomo, you're finished if you go back. God have mercy, how many kids were killed yesterday on a school? It breaks the heart what's going on. Wow. Yomo, there when you bought Perot, it's the Perot of Kiev. Here, yes, the Perot Eretz Yisrael. But if the money's from Kiev, it's not that good. You're not doing that well. And here, he throws in a side message. And this comes back to, I've heard this so many times. You go to Muncie. I challenge you, Natan, to go to Muncie. And you're going to go into the shtibble. And you're going to tell these people, we need you in Eretz Yisrael, a mitzvah in Eretz Yisrael. It's after the Holocaust, we're building Eretz Yisrael. You're going to quote everything that dummy Rakefet has said. And they're going to say, yes, you're right, you're right, you're right. But how come Rabbi Moshe Feinstein lived on the east side? How come the Rav lived in Brookline? How come? And they'll give you a whole list. You've heard that argument? I've heard it 1,000 times. So I always answer, Rabbi Moshe and the Rav must have been doing something right, because they have more descendants living in Israel than they have in the United States. All right, we'll see about the Rav and Rav Moshe in America. We're going to get there. Satmarov has to relate to it. But see, this question, why do they come? I mean, the answer is not, it's a stupid question. They're living at a different time. They're caught up in a certain time warp. We're talking to you today in the year 2023. Don't tell me what went on 50, 60, 40, 30 years ago. Look at the ones who, but he says it. People are saying to him, what are you talking Zionism? What are you talking Eretz Yisrael? The Rebbe is in Poland. The Belzer Rebbe is in Austro-Hungary. Reb Chaim Brisker is in White Russia. Reb Zilchanan is in Lithuania. What are you bothering us? He says, and this probably is the reason, Yerali Tam, Hagadolim Shalonich Nichnesuli Eretz Yisrael, because there was no panasa there, and the panasa even in Israel, so you get money from Chutz Laretz. Yes, you're on a higher level. The Perot are Perot Eretz Yisrael. The Kedusha is Kedushat Eretz Yisrael. However, it's not the total mitzvah. And the Gedolim remained in Chutz Laretz. There was the Kalkalah, the Panasa. But he says, nevertheless, if people will go to Israel, then we certainly have an obligation to support them. Nechshav mashaonu noknim lechem ke'ein hamevi daron le'talmid chacham. So understand, people, I've gotten gifts over the generations, I have to say. People give me, I don't need gifts, I'm not, but not, no, I understand it. When they give you a gift, it's a Gemara, and it's in Sanhedrin, it's a Yerushalmi, that when they would make a Sudat Rosh Chodesh, when they would Koveya Rosh Chodesh, so kids would sneak under the table, youngsters, and eat the Purim. This is where Shurayim, the whole concept of Shurayim comes from that concept. What is the concept? When you share something, it's like you're part of the person's soul. It's like saying, oh, this is my Rebbe. I'm happy I could give him a gift. I'm happy I could share with him. It goes two ways. It's a two-way bridge. So, you know, just the other day, someone came to share. I never met him before. I hope I'll meet him again. He and his wife were listening to me for years. They were sitting ready. They started crying. Because I'm real, you know, when you hear the voice, it's not real. And he left me a beautiful gift that I'll quote months from now on Satmar. But I could see what it meant to him that I took the gift. And I want to tell you, he's listening, I appreciate it. I'm reading it, I'm gained a lot of insight from it. And he says, so it's like if you live in Eretz Yisrael, you have a chazaka, you're a Talmud Chacham, you're a better Jew. And when we support them, we are connected to the process. And later on page 290, he summarizes everything. And mitzvah yishuv Eretz Yisrael lachatchila, you should have a panasa. You shouldn't be a charity case. And number two, you hear an overtone of the Satmar's thinking later. Satmar may have gotten it from him, but listen what he's going to say here. He says, number two, you want to live in Eretz Yisrael, you have to be a tzaddik. There you cannot sin like in Chutz La'aretz. You have to be a tzaddik. Listen to this. Osh shisha ha'ish tzaddik af im ha'isha einene tzaddika me'acha shehim tfeila lo. He says, the woman, you have to be a tzaddik, even if your wife is not a tzaddika, because the wife is dependent on the man. I have to say, to me, life has taught me just the opposite. We have aliyah because of the women, not the men. You'd see it in Mitzrayim. The women kept the Jewish people alive. I need not tell you what you learned, the Elel HaSeder from the Midrashim. Tachat HaPuach. The women, Eretz Yisrael today, yours truly, I would have wound up in America conquering the world, the young man. Built first Orthodox shul, Maplewood, South Orange. It's a fact. No one there. I mean, I admit, I don't know how many people are alive there who remember me from 1962. First Orthodox, you don't know. Against all odds. Rebbe and YU, I have Talmidim, the closest Talmidim I have are from the 60s. The world. They eulogize. My wife said, either you come or stay behind, but I'm going. Ahavat Eretz Yisrael. Wow. And time and again, it's the women. And if anyone says to me, they're thinking of Aliyah, the first thing they say is, what is your wife thinking? Kol acharei isha, paraphrasing the Midrash Rabba. But here he says, yeah, I can understand it. The woman's complaining. It's not as fancy as Warsaw. The clothing is not as fancy. Where do you get this nice dress? Money is not so plentiful. All right, the women, I can understand, may have complaints. But even if she's not a tzaddika, you have to be a tzaddik. And then he raises the other question, and this the Satmar has to deal with as well. Wait a minute. How come we don't all go in Aliyah? So you're going to quote to me Reb Moshe's tshuva. Mitzvah kiyumit, not a mitzvah kiyuvit. And I don't think he discusses it too with the Avnei Nezer. Again, I'm not going into the whole question. Is there a mitzvah? The Ramban, the Rambam, the Megillat Esther. But probably the best answer is it's a mitzvah. If you go to Israel, there's no question about it. You're being Mekayim, a mitzvah, you're right, you're rashta, to be a shafta. But you're not chai. Wait a minute, you're not chai. That's not like blowing shofar. If you don't blow shofar in Munsi, you're an oisvaf, a trumpenik, a pushtak, a garnished. Natan Arabim used to maledict us, boy, that I learned Yiddish, Russian, Turkish, all at once. Today, what do the kids know? A little English. How can you maledict a kid in English? What word can you say to him? I don't know any English. An oisvaf, a trompenik, a pushtak, a gornish, a poya. No, a poya. It's Russian. Yoma, what is a poyer? A farmer and nothing and a moritz and ignoramus. A poyer. Check it out.
I never heard that word, but
Apaya, maybe I'm not pronouncing it, but that's when my Rebbein pronounced. Apaya, Apaya, my grandfather. And I'm Oritz. All right. But wait a minute. Tzitzit. Tosav Yid Menachat. Tell me, are we obligated to wear tzitzit? Absolutely not. You wear begadim that are rounded, there's no chiyuv tzitzit, right or wrong. What's the obligation? Wait a minute, am I crazy? I put on a special garment just to have tzitzit. Nu, the Gemara says, einochinami, it's not a chiyuv, it's not a kiyum chiyuvit, it's a kiyum, it's a mitzvah kiyumit, not a mitzvah chiyuvit. But the Gemara says, Rav Katina, the famous Gemara, that God gets angry, the Malach is angry, if you don't wear tzitzit, you're going to be punished. If that's the case, what about Eretz Yisrael? God will be angry if we don't settle. And here the Avnei Nezer says, correct. And if you have panasa, and if you live among frum people and you remain religious in Israel, absolutely, it's a mitzvah kiyumit, but a mitzvah that you should do like someone who wears tzitzit. And he winds up that people in Chutz Laretz have an absolute obligation to support the Jews in Eretz Yisrael. Zvulun v'yisacha, they share in the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. All right, I refer you to the tshuva. It's filled with information, with what we've alluded to, a different overtone than the Satmarov, no question about it. I would say I'm correct in calling him a precursor, a nascent Agudat Yisrael outlook. But the question of Parnassa, both of them raise the issue. If you don't have Parnassa, think again, is it a mitzvah to go on Aliyah and suffer, be poor, be a charity case, be dependent upon others? And nowadays, when you look at the Yeshiva World News, social media, take a look at all the advertisements before Pesach. We're collecting food and wine and matzah and meat and chicken and videos of what's being distributed. All right? Do they have a mitzvah? Natan went around collecting in the five towns. He collected $1 million. In Muncie, he collected $100,000. Do they have a mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael? See, they share in it. According to the Avnei Nezer, you call it the Avnei Nezer, it's going to help in collecting funds in the five towns and Muncie. Okay. Now, the fifth Ikar, it's very fascinating. Ikar number Dalid, give a close reference to the Avnei Nezer. The fifth Ikar is where he deals with what I just alluded to. How can you be opposed to Aliyah? How can you be opposed to Zionism? To Gemara Menachat, if you don't wear tzitzit, you will be punished. God will be angry. It's a mitzvah kiyumit, true. All my life I rounded out my shirt, my jacket, my chasra. I don't want to have a chiyum. You don't wear tzitzit. Nevertheless, God is angry. If that's the case, what about mitzvah Yishuv Eretz Yisrael? How can you ignore it? Mitzvah kiyumit. But like tzitzit, you have to do it. Let me say in parentheses, Ashrenu Shezachinu, In the Israeli army, you have the right to request two pairs of army tzitzit. Now, you should bring it, I should show it to you in class if you haven't seen it. It's army clothing, greenish brown with tzitzit. My children have it, my grandchildren have it, I have a pair, and today it's made hundreds of thousands of tzitzit like this. All you have to do is request it. Well, by the way, in the army you can also get talis, you can get tefillin, you can make any request you want, and you'll see that it will be answered. Baruch Hashem. As a matter of fact, it seems that the next Ramatkal is going to be a Shomer Shabbos Jew. The only problem is, if I could only meet with President Herzog, I would tell him, you're wonderful, but put a kippah on. If you put a kippah on, you will influence another 100,000 Jews in the Golah not to assimilate. And Halevi took off the kippah. It's a shame. You know, to get ahead, it was that time. Today, already, you don't have to do it. His whole family is 100% from. It's a real from people back then, and he is from. There are others that are, the family is from, and they already play around a little. He is from. So, why don't you do the mitzvah? How can you push it away? Eretz Yisrael, Yeshiva Haaretz, mitzvah kiyumit, no different than tzitzit. So he gives an answer. I hold it. It's a tshuva bedochek, but it's a tshuva. He says, no, there's one big difference. Tzitzit is the most important mitzvah of all. Why? It's the basis. Tzitzit, what does it remind you of? What does tzitzit mean? Tayyag, all the mitzvot. Bishvil, b'mitzvah tzitzit, bishvil sheyesh bo zichirat kol ha-mitzvot. Gam afilu asovim shegam b'chol ha-mitzvot who came. Mikol makom yesh loma she'ein ze elim yuchol b'makomo biro. What he's saying here is, and this opens the whole Pandora's box of Tosfos of Rabbeinu Chaim, I trust you know what I'm talking about, that yes, mitzvah tzitzit is very important. It reminds us of all tayyag mitzvot. But the mitzvah of tzitzit has another advantage. All you do is put on your underwear, put the tzitzit on, under your shirt, over your shirt. It's no problem. Eretz Yisrael, the Malach can't be angry at you. The Ribbono Shel Olam can't be angry at you, because that's a mitzvah that you have to travel thousands of miles. Derech Yamim Unaharat. And that's Rabbeinu Chaim in Tosfot. Remember Sakonat HaDerech. Today people will say it's a Sakonat to live in Israel. Look what's going on. Alright, it's unfortunately a Sakonat for Jews to live anywhere. It's not just Israel. I don't have to elaborate. But at least here, we can take it into our own hands. And you saw yesterday already, there were a number of attacks, and thank God they were foiled, although a Mishmar HaGvul Chayal was injured outside Shah Shechem, but they blew away the Mechabel. And there is a difference. But nevertheless, that's Rabbeinu Chaim in Tosfot. A lot has been written, and then here you see the Satmar Rav says the whole concept of putting on tzitzit. When you get dressed, what's the big deal? But to go and leave Palm's tree, to go and leave Muncie, to go and leave the five towns, thousands of miles traveling, ad kedei kach, we're not obligated. Okay, that's the 50 car. The 60 car is the whole concept of Galus. Ben-Gurion rewrote the history of the Jewish people. Ben-Gurion wrote about Bayit Rishon, Bayit Sheni, and it all picks up with Harel, with the Zionist movement in the 19th century. Galus is terrible, Galus is horrible. We accomplished nothing in Galus. It was the children raised here, the Chiloni education. You were ashamed of your parents who lived in Galus. What were they? What did they accomplish? Here we have a state. I don't know if you're aware, there was the tremendous question. I always dealt with it in all my lectures. Many times in the army, I brought this into my lectures because this was a widely recognized question. 6 million Jews went to their slaughter like sheep. How could that be? 6 million? Look at us here in Israel. We're 1 million, we're 2 million, 3 million. When I was in the army, let's say, 2.5 million, 3 million. Don't think we hit 4 million all my years in the army. And look what we have, an army, an air force, a navy. Look what we've developed. A guy like Rakepet has a son-in-law that twice won the highest award in the Israeli army for what he developed. He's a Machon Lev graduate. What he developed for Merkava 2 and Merkava 3, ninth sight. That was his optics. That was his specialty. His son, my grandson, is today in the same unit, just became a captain, won an award, outstanding Katsin. He's developing this tank, this troop carrier that can withstand missiles. He's in charge of the electricity in the troop carrier. It's unbelievable. 6 million like sheep, and here a handful of Jews. Look what we've developed. Wow. And this question, you had to answer. Kids growing up in Israel. I've lectured on it. It's on YU Torah. The answers are more powerful than the question. But we religious Jews, we don't put down the Galus. God decreed we go into Galus. Chahol davening b'nei chateinu galinu me'atzenu. We don't put down the Galus. And we develop the ability to survive as Jews in an alien environment. And we developed learning. We carried a portable Beis HaMikdash with us, Shas and Paiskim, Shelet and Shuvat, Talmud Bavli, Sur and Pampadita. There's so much I can tell you. I just see Ben-Gurion speaking in front of my eyes at Yeshiva University, and there was Professor Mirsky, Shmuel Kalman Mirsky. I hope you heard the name. The ignorant should pass for the wise. Know what he produced. A world of scholarship. See, Yerushalmi kid wound up in America. He was over 50 when he got his PhD from Columbia University. And he published, had a whole series of volumes, Natan Surah. What does that imply? Surah, that we developed something in America, developed in Babylonia. We too have a Torah center here, an academic center here, Bernard Rebel Graduate School, Yeshiva University. And Ben-Gurion said in Yiddish, in his talk in YU, Gleibnish, that's in America, is noch geworden Surah. I don't believe America became Surah. And Mirsky in class was beaming. He told us in class, you see, Ben-Gurion put me down. But he put me down. There can't be a Surah. I think he's wrong, but at least he recognizes what we're doing here. We never said the Golah was terrible. The Karev Pizureinu, there's Golah, there's Galut, there's Geulah, there's redemption. The Satmar Rav said, no, the Golah is more than a punishment. It's a chiyuv to remain there. We were told we have to go into Galus. and we can never leave Gullus. God will not take us out until we undo the reason we are in Gullus. Why are we in Gullus? Mipnei chataeinu galinu meyatzeinu. Until we do tshuva, there will never be a Jewish state. And this is the whole reason we're in Gullus. And tshuva, the Rambam, Hilchot Malachim, tshuva kodemet lekibetz Goliath. And I'm quoting from Rayol Moshe, that acharei ha-tshuva sheyeh bizman biyat ha-mashiach, ve'ach melech ha-mashiach ya'aseh kibetz Goliath. Who? Levado v'lo achea. What? Theodor Herzl? The Zionist movement? Ben-Gurion? Weizmann? They're going to bring back the Jews to Israel? It cannot be. There has to be tshuva, Melech Mashiach, and only the Melech HaMashiach will bring us back. All right? There's one big problem here. Throughout the ages, throughout the saga of the Jewish people, we always had Jews living here. Gidolei Yisrael, Talmidei HaGra, Talmidei HaBal Shem Tov. What are we talking about? There always were Jews here. Didn't we quote the Rambam when we dealt with the first part of Vayakhel Moshe in Sefer HaMitzvot? That the whole Kiddush HaChodesh, our entire calendar, Ribur Shanah, and all that goes with having a Jewish calendar, all depends upon having a minion in Eretz Yisrael. That's the Kfiyat Taluach. They are the shlichim of the Sanhedrin who will koveya a luach la'atid lavo, when there won't be a Sanhedrin that is active, but there have to be Jews there. Jews lived there. There have to be Jews in Eretz Yisrael. So the Satmarav says, yes, that's Yechid, but not the whole Tzibur. V'yein heta ele liyechidim la'alot v'lehishtokek liyot min hazoikim lavo l'Eretz Yisrael. Yechidim. A few talmidim of the Gaon. A few talmidim of the Baal Shem Tov. Rabbi Nachum Mendel of the Teps. Others. All right. They'll come. Not masses, not turning to all the Jews and giving them a guilt conscience and tell them you are not good living in Palm City, living in Palm Tree, I should say, Palm Tree City, living in Muncie, living in the Five Towns, living in Teaneck, living in Beverly Hills, living in Detroit, living in Chicago, living in Toronto, living in Montreal, living in Moscow, living in Kiev, living in London, living in Johannesburg, living in Cape Town. You're not good Jews. Chas v'chalila. Gullus is important. God commanded it. God wants you there. Gullus is not negative. Don't decry it. Don't neutralize it. Don't put it down. You belong there. Few individuals. Tzaddikim. They can come in Aliyah, but not the masses, and certainly not when the Jews have not done tshuva, and there is no Mashiach Tzidkenu. All right, that's a very important dikur. You see already the heart of Satma thinking, the heart of Satma interpretation, and I caution all those listening who are getting upset and getting angry, don't waste your time emailing me, maledicting Satma. I'll refute him beautifully. But only after we let you understand what Satma is all about. There once was a dummy who grew up in the Bronx, but he was privileged to know Gedolei Yisrael. And that gave him a mind that works. And boy, did he say it beautifully. You cannot be a religious Zionist until you know the Vayol Moshe and the Al HaGula V'Al HaTmurah by heart. Baruch Hashem. We're not there yet, but we're getting there. Shlav, shlav. Point by point. Ikar by Ikar. Now, the seventh point deals with a problem that so much ink has been spilled on it, and we still can't give a black and white answer. Tell me. Eretz Yisrael is very important. The proof is you're not allowed to leave Eretz Yisrael. What does the Gemara say? There are only three reasons you can leave Eretz Yisrael. Parnassa, Talmud Torah, and Zivuk. The Rambam paskens that way in Hilchot Malachim. All right. What does it mean for those reasons to leave? All right. The simple pshat is, it's not that you leave permanently. You leave to make the shidduch. Panasa, you leave to establish yourself, come back. The whole concept of sending young people to Chutz Laaretz to be rabbanim, to teach, to all the day schools all over the United States, the Zionist-oriented day schools. Many of their teachers are from Eretz Yisrael. I know endless people, friends of my children, my grandchildren, who went on Shlichot to teach. Rabbanim, the Strauss Amiel, they prepare Rabbanim for Chutz Laaretz. Others are involved in it. But the whole concept is, they tell you you'll go for 3 years and you'll come back with money to be able to have a down payment for an apartment. All right? So you wind up here where you have two factors. Talmud Torah, of course, when it says Talmud Torah, it's not just to learn, it's to teach as well. It goes two ways. And mikom lamdei hiskalti, when you teach, you learn more. And it goes for panasa, kalkala, the whole problem of apartment. And I have to tell you, I know people, they go from 3 to 5 years. They don't want to go for more. You go for more than 5 years, you wind up staying. You become, I know many people who wound up going to Chutz Laaretz and wound up being Chutz Laaretz people. But 3 years is a little difficult. I'll tell you why. If you go for 3 years, the people hiring you are not getting their money's worth. Because the first year you have to learn baseball. There's no way you can go to America and be a successful Rebbe without knowing baseball. You go to England, there has to be cricket, whatever they play there. But then the second year you're really a good Rebbe. The third year you're busy thinking, what am I going to do when I get back to Israel? So when you go for 5 years, at least they get 3 good years out of you, the second, third, and fourth year. But I don't want to put this down. It's a very big mitzvah. And the Mizrahi today is a Jewish agency. The Mizrahi, they're very big in pushing Torah Mitzion. It has created a tremendous understanding of Israel and a tremendous aliyah. We have a tremendous, compared to what was years ago, there's not just a trickle from America, there's really an aliyah. And a lot of this goes back to this concept of going to Chutz Laaretz and doing what you can to influence. Now, how Jews live in Israel? If they can't live as in Israel, you see how important the mitzvah is. And we're trying to tell Jews not to go an aliyah. So the Sakhmar of here, again, his whole interpretation is different. He says very simply, when does this concept apply? When the Jews have a stable government and are successful and are living in God's countenance is shining upon them. Then God is mad when Elimelech goes to Chutz Laaretz. Megillat Rut, I don't have to tell you the messages in Megillat Rut at times are overwhelming, but there's a basic message there. You don't leave Eretz Yisrael. But nowadays, when Israel is not thriving, and when there is not a redemption, and when God has decreed, he uses the word Hagalut Hu Gezerah, Adbiat HaMashiach, Sheyekabetz HaGaliyot, then yes, today you are permitted to leave Eretz Yisrael. And even the Ramban, who paskins it's a mitzvah to stay in Israel, to build Israel, that's only for Yechidei Skula. And here there's one extra sentence that I want to comment on. Kvar nitba'er shehakol hu bezeh lefi ma shehu adam. The anachnu lo dein dan hu natnaf shel shel hashoel. And here you're coming to a basic principle in chinuch that certainly is part of our world, the greater wider world, the world of the Rav, etc. Not everyone can do the same thing. People are different. People have different abilities. People have different understanding. People find themselves in a different type of life warp, I'll call it. A different type of living, their environment, their surroundings. You can't command everyone to be the same way. This is where we have a lot of problems. The Rav, if you read the second volume of, study the second volume, the Rav, the world of Rabbi Joseph B. Soloveitchik, I quote the Rav word by word, and the Rav had a lot of difficulty understanding the new Torah world that was developing by the 60s into the 70s, where everyone dresses alike, looks alike, the black hat, the uniform. He couldn't tolerate it. And he said, when you live like this, you're making a statement, we're all the same, we think the same, we act the same, we dress the same. There's no room for innovation, no room for chiddush. It's not like Reb Chaim Brisker, who could walk around in everyday clothes. Not like the Chafetz Chaim that we have this beautiful movie of, was not dressed like all the Rabbanim. There was individualism, but this is the Chafetz Chaim who produced the Mishnah Brura, etc. This is Reb Chaim Brisker who revolutionized Talmudic thinking. And this is basic to where we're different than the black world or the Haredi world, call it as you wish. I remember one time driving home from Gruss, and there was a funeral in the Shari Tzedek area. I forget whose Shari Chesed area. And a whole group, maybe a few hundred Talmidim of Chevron, were walking towards the funeral. I forget whose funeral it was. It was not Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach. I was at that funeral myself, but it was someone well known in the Litvish world. And I was coming home from Gruss, and I saw all these young men walking in front of me. From the back, they looked exactly the same. And I was thinking of the Rav, I was thinking of his teachings, I was thinking of my own lifestyle, and how different it is. And here the Satmar Rav is quoting this, but he's using it in a different fashion. When it comes to Aliyah, each one has to make his own decision. It can't be massive. Are you a tzaddik? Do you have panasa there? Can you live among other Jews who think like you? This is not a massive movement. This is for individuals, and you can't turn it into a movement where everyone is going to be encouraged, come in Aliyah. If you don't come in Aliyah, you're not a good Jew, you're not on a proper level, the masses have to come. Look how we opened the gates here to Ukrainians, to Russians. Look what happened in 56, what we spoke about 2 weeks ago with the Hungarians. It doesn't mean that everyone has to come, that you have to encourage. No, he criticized Agudat Yisrael. How dare you encourage the masses? It's the few chosen individuals, and we do not know the Nefesh Adam. Everyone is different. This is the secret of God's creation. No two people are alike. That's the Gemara in the Mishnah in Sanhedrin, and the Gemara at the end of Brachot, that when you see the masses of Israel, you have to make a bracha, because you're looking at 10,000 people, 10,000 individuals, 10,000 people who think differently. And any concept of mass movement, mass aliyah, mass ge'ulah before Mashiach, chas v'chalila, absolutely incorrect. Yechidei skuli, yes, but masses, no. And let me end off the way I began, coming back to the question that Rabbi Hochhauser asked me. The Lubavitcher Rebbe, no two people got the same advice from him. Each one was different. Each one he advised within the context of who you are, what you are, and the Rebbe had them up to shots, and how the Rebbe understood him as the Rebbe envisioned him, at times with x-ray vision. But for you, university is harmful. For you, university is great. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Olam, shehakol nehyeh bedvaro. Okay. So we've done seven of the Ikarim. We'll pick up next week exactly where we left off with the Ikar Chet, and you'll see something I'll elaborate. It's amazing, and it was and is halacha lema'aseh, as you will see. Now, so what do we see here? And we're just scratching the surface, but we're getting there. See, the Rebbe's whole approach was Golus was commanded by the Ribbono Shel Olam. Golus is not to be negated, and you're not to leave the Golus until the Ribbono Shel Olam decides the time has come. Until then, Golus is where you belong, Golus is where you stay. Golus will only be terminated when all the Jews will do tshuva. When you do tshuva, it will bring Mashiach Tzidkenu. Mashiach Tzidkenu will lead us back to Eretz Yisrael. What's fascinating about the Ikarim we did today, you get involved with the whole question of Chalukah, of Panasah. And this question reverberates. You see, when you study the history, and there, Avram Ya'ari, he wrote an entire volume, or maybe two volumes, on Shluchei Eretz Yisrael and Chalukah. You see, some looked upon it very positively, that the Jews in Chutz Laretz have an obligation to support those that are here. We're keeping the calendar going. We're davening for them. We're keeping the Jewish people alive, the holidays. You have an obligation to support us. That was a positive look at Chalukah. But the other way to look at it, and this is of course what the Zionism brought to us, was why are you satisfied to be a schnurrer? Why must we always beg? Why must we always collect? Why must we go around with tears in our eyes? Why can't we live in dignity? Why do we boast that we have so many more people here, and there has to be such a great Chalukah? Wouldn't it be fabulous to one day say on Yeshiva World News, this year nothing had to be distributed as charity for Pesach. We abolished Ma'ot Chitim. This year the economy was such that the government sold so much gas, and you know what they said, we're going to make hundreds of billions of dollars. And what I read this morning, wow, it's beyond words what we have discovered here. And with Russia and the Ukraine, we become wealthier and wealthier because we have the goods to deliver. And high tech and the inventions and the startup. This year, the government did not collect taxes. Live in Israel, tax-free. Wow, that will be an achievement. You see? But there's two ways to look at it. And right down the line, you'll see machlokes, not hapoiskim, machlokes rabbanim, machlokes in an ideological sense. Is it good to give charity? Oh, wonderful, I gave charity, I feel good. But on the other hand, imagine a society where we won't need charity, where we'll be self-supporting. All right, this is what the Sakhmurov is dealing with. And Einachinami, it's a fascinating question. What I showed you, the sideshow of the Avnei Neza, he too would agree with the Satan Rav on that level, that it's a partnership of Zavulun and Yisachar. But the Avnei Neza is much more open. In other words, when you see the way he deals with Mitzvah Yishev Eretz Yisrael, and again, it's a real problem. Mitzvah Kiyumit, it's like tzitzit. How do we feel about a Jew not putting on tzitzit? As a matter of fact, if you know the Hasidic lifestyle in Hasidic yeshivas, the kids sleep with tzitzit on. That's what I'm told. I mean, what are you, an amoretz, an ignoramus? What are you wearing tzitzit at night? Baini Shalom, what are you getting your tzitzit dirty and soiled? Come on. But you see, they make such a big thing out of tzitzit. Well, if you make something so big out of tzitzit, what about mitzvah yeshiva? Eretz Yisrael. All right, let the issue hang fire. We have more to do. I wouldn't miss next week's shiur for all that you can accomplish by going to the front lines and the Ukraine and with your gun and armor and all that you have. I think the shiur will be deeper and more important. But I don't want to minimize the problems there. Sunday is a very important shiur. Coming into the whole problem of teaching Goyim in day schools. You can't believe the number of emails I already got from Sunday Shia, and I'm very happy to say that my words are inspiring teachers in the day schools in America and elsewhere. But we'll deal with that Sunday, and then we're shifting. Mark is going to have to come up. I know I said there's no more IOU list after Corona, and I recovered. The Ribbono Shel Olam was kind to me. Mark, nevertheless, it's as if you have to give the IOU $36,000 linked to the shekel. We're getting into Chicago, Ribbono Shel Olam. And boy, when you go back, don't talk too much, because there'll be people who will hug you and pee of Ribbono Shel Olam, making you very happy with it. But there'll be others from Tells that'll want to wash the floor with you. So be careful when you go back to Chicago. Are there any questions from the wonderful students in front of me? I have a big simcha here. One of the young men sitting here, his parents came in Aliyah this morning. And that's something very, very special. When you come in Aliyah, you're reborn. There are two dates you'll always remember. The day you were born, they always ask you here. Tarich Leida. Tarikh Aliyah, July 5th, 1969, in my case. And the Rambam, looking to Hilchat Shiva, when you come out, you become a Baal Shiva, you become a total Jew, you have to change your name. You see the Rambam Paskins, that's it, Rakefet, Rothkopf became Rakefet. It's an anagram. Everyone has to figure out what does Bauer mean? And then play with it. What does Bauer mean? How do you have that name in Austria? Where does it come from? Do you know?
It means farmer.
Farmer, all right. Your parents are Haklai. That's it. No big deal. Doctor and Gveret, Doctor the Doctor Haklai. Singular, not plural, because it's a last name. Yes, Hirschberg, you're still with name?
Most of my kids have
my sons, almost all of them changed it to Har Tzvi. I had once thought of changing it.
Har Tzvi,
the translating of Hirsch.
Very nice, very nice. Like Hirsch.
And I chickened out because of all, after having already worked in the States.
I tell you what you have to do. I changed it to Rakefet, and then I went crazy to prove I was Rothkopf. You know, I get it. So I went back to the Misrat HaPnim, and they told me, well, why didn't you ask us? It's an easy solution. Rakefet Makaf Rothkopf. Legally, I have two last names. Okay? I only use Aaron Rakefet. Aaron Rakefet. But, for instance, passports, they all read Aaron Rakefet dash Rothkopf. More than that, my American passport has an addendum that it's Aaron Isaac, Aaron Yitzchak, Arnold Edward. In other words, any variation of my name is legal. So I have no problem today. But I had the problem back in the early 70s. Then you couldn't change your name before 3 years. I don't know if you know how the system worked. You couldn't become a citizen until 3 years after the Aliyah. Toshav Arai, exactly. And then you had to choose citizenship or Toshav Kavua, which Kavua didn't give you. Right. So, and I tell you, when I became a citizen, it was a different Israel. The person sitting behind the desk, I remember the man was a Holocaust survivor. The minute I became a citizen, he opens his desk drawer, pulls out a bottle of schnapps and kichlach and lekach. We make a lechayim with him. Baruch Hashem. Today, all right, they come, I don't know, they come, they make big parties, but that was very heartwarming. And I think to change my name then, it cost absolutely nothing. They didn't charge when you advertised your name. I think today they charge something, 3 shekel or something, I don't know. But it's not a big deal. All right, are there any questions? Yes?
So what the source of... Also, that any avera that magnified when you...
We spoke about that last week. That to live here, that lo taki etchem haaretz.
Okay, but why does that mean that it's kilu magnified? I mean that...
Because you desecrate the land. A guy named Rakefet was very upset with Rabbi Rishman's proposal to have a reformed temple at the Kotel. And one of the things that bothered me was you're desecrating the very place where Mechitza began. You follow? The Gemara in Sukkah, Daf Nun Aleph, that whole Sukkah, the Mishnah.
But if a person is afraid that, you know, he's eating such and such Hashkacha in Muncie, and now he's going to come to Israel and eat certain Hashkacha here, he said, no, well, maybe it's wrong.
Listen,
I'm afraid.
I let me tell you something. The Hashkacha here, all of them basically are good. There are so many from Jews here. You mentioned Muncie, how many people wound up eating treif there with what went on? What, you don't know? Come on, I know the man involved. I don't want to mention his name. From Gedolei Yisrael, from what a family. And imagine a guy in Muncie who lay in and wouldn't carry on Shabbos the middle of the night. He's repacking the chickens. And so I wouldn't be too impressed with the Hechsher in Muncie. The Hech in Israel has to be better because people here, they're much more from people here. And I can prove it very easily. In Muncie, when you get something kosher to Pesach, you have to pay more. Here, you're living here, Pesach prices drop. There's such competition. Either had a kasher. Yeah, they're Jews. What's the shkal? Of course we have the kasher. You understand? It's a different feeling here. That's why people drive me crazy. What Hechshi can depend on? I said, eat milchiks. Milchiks, you can't find anything treif, even with meat to find. You got to be a Russian Marusha to go to the Arabs and buy some chickens that were slaughtered cheaper.
It shouldn't be afraid to make Aliyah.
I had a terrible experience. I was invited to an affair in a 5-star hotel on Chol Hamoed Sukkot, 12 noon. And there was no food. 200 people, they're Americans, Anglos, stupid people, don't know what Torah is about. They think they're frumer than the other. They don't trust any hashkacha. You don't trust any hashkacha. Serve salmon. I just looked at my salmon. My wife is defrosting make today. Wow, 3 hashkachas, the Chatan Sefer, the Marzike, that you don't trust. Throw the Torah out. The whole Torah is based upon trust. Adat Yisrael, B'nai Yisrael. A Korban Pesach, we all share in it. The whole time I have dresses on dresses, but let me stick to Satma. Got it? But that's the answer. You're worried Muncie's better than here. Please, don't embarrass the wonderful Shaykhdom who live here. And let me say to the wonderful student in front of me until we get to meet again in health and happiness, Das Vedanya. Mark, open it up to the world and see if there are any questions from the wonderful people who are facing me on the screen. So once again, where you live far from here, Roast Syndrome. No, it's this way. The guys, so yeah, I'm trying to get students for next year. I'm really frightened. Students in front of me, not just the screen.
Yeah.
The screen destroyed my classroom. Yeah, go ahead. It's open?
Two things. When you talk about the Safed Shabbat, my roommate in college in NYU was actually Safed Shabbat. He was one of the last Jews in Poland. And whenever the Rebbe would come from Israel to visit the Kvarim, he would stay at his house.
Wow.
He had pictures. He showed me a thing. Rabbi Katishin.
So I got news for you. You talk about YU. Rabbi Tendler is YU.
Yeah,
you would agree? Yeah. Who's one of his sons-in-law? Rabbi Rappaport. Rabbi Rappaport is a Nur Einikol of the Sachchava. You follow me? So right there, we're tied in to Sachchav, Rabbi Rappaport. What a story. Rabbi Rappaport worked on Rabbi Moshe Feinstein, that's his wife's grandfather, right? Right or wrong, his wife's grandfather, Rabbi David Moshe Tendler's father-in-law. The Sach Chavez Ureinikel worked on Rabbi Moshe's Svarim, the Shelton Shuvat that came out after his death. So Baruch Hashem, Sach Chav lives on. It has many names today, because the daughters married the Rappaport family, the Weinberg family, and the Bornstein family. There may be more names, but they're all these families have Sachchav, have Avnei Nezer Yechus, Shem Yishmuel Yechus. All right, anyone else have a question?
Yeah. Rabbi, one thing, Herzl's wife, I remember, who was it? She was cremated and her son lost her. She was never brought back here because of that. His kids are all buried here. Or at least
kids, his wife was
buried. Any concentration?
Yeah, it has to be checked. Someone has to go to a Herzl and take a look. I never heard that.
So like his son was on drugs or something and right. He was carrying his mother and he lost her. It's a story.
Wow. No, he had no mazel with his children because he neglected them. The great Rabbanim, many had mazel with their children, but Klal Yisrael suffered as a result. Their Zionism didn't go further than the book. You follow? Or not much further. Let me put it that way. But what I say is very true about Herzl. You have to understand the man became Meshuga L'Dava Echad. And because of Herzl, we're sitting here a few minute walk from Har Herzl, okay? And this was Theodor Herzl. And this was, if you went into Rabbi Tzvi Yehuda Cook's home, so in the foyer, there were two pictures. One of his father, Rabram Yitzchak, and on the other side, Rev Theodor Herzl. Two pictures staring at each other. And I have a lot more to say in Herzl, but wait till we get there. Okay, are there any more questions? Okay. All right, and I want to thank you very much for honoring me with your presence. I want to thank, you got to know the work that Jack and Yomo do. Jack writes up the shir, and he's limited to how many words, and that's what goes on to the description in YU Torah. And Yomo goes to work right after class. Yomo's half asleep, but he wakes up, and right after class on the computer in my office, he puts it onto YU Torah, and it's a big chesed, because there are people who are anxious to hear it, and Baruch Hashem, the words carry, they're listened to, they're debated, some agree, some disagree, but lahagdil Torah ulahardira. All right, until we meet again in health and happiness, Das Vedanya. Thank you very, very much.